This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by the Parent House. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. I guess you could call this sort of an exit interview with Marissa Fink, leaving as the CEO and executive director of the YMCA of Douglas County. Your last official day in that role is this Friday, right?
It is.
So what does it feel like going into your final week?
You know, in some ways, it feels very normal. You know, everyday things that I have to attend to. And in other ways, it's filled with people stopping by to say goodbye or wishing me well or congratulating me. It's a real mixture, a real emotional mixture for me as well this week.
Now, talk about your new position.
So this is a brand new position, not just for me, but for the Oregon Alliance of YMCAs. We've, as a member of the Oregon Alliance, as one of the 11 CEOs, we've been talking for the past year or so about having an executive director for our alliance to coordinate our efforts, to help us with our statewide initiatives, give us a voice at the State House. And when thought about it, they thought about it, I thought about it, it felt like it was a good fit for me. I was the best person for the job. So I was tapped and I said yes. And so I'm very excited about this opportunity.
So the Y's around Oregon, you said 11. Is that all in Western Oregon?
No, actually, it's pretty much all the way up and down the I-5 corridor with a few that are outlying ones. There's a Y in Tillamook. There's a Y in Klamath Falls, Baker City. And then starting at the very top of the state, Portland. I hope I'm going to get them all. Albany, Salem, Eugene, Roseburg, Grants Pass, Ashland, and Medford.
Wow.
I think I've got them all.
And talking about kind of going down the map, you're going to probably be traveling a lot, I suppose.
I don't know if I want to say a lot, but there will be times when I will be visiting those YMCAs or working together with, let's say, the southern YMCAs or the northern ones. There'll be times I'll be in Salem with meetings with our legislator and other organizations that are similar to the YMCA in terms of helping advance initiatives that are passionate or issues that are important to the Y. I will be representing our state alliance also in Washington, D.C. For example, next month I will be at Capitol Hill with other state alliance members and volunteers speaking to our senators and representatives at the Capitol.
So do other YMCA associations or groups in other states, are they kind of set up similarly?
They are. Some have had alliance directors for many years, and in many states, this is new in the last two or three years. We've realized that it's best for a local group of YMCAs, whether it's a state or a pair of states together, to work together because they have similar issues, similar needs, similar opportunities to partner with others and collaborations. So there are about 40 alliance directors in the country.
Wow. Now, one of the things about the position I understand is because of what you'll be doing, you actually don't have to move.
That's one of our favorite things. Marty and I fell in love with Douglas County when we moved here 11 years ago because of its beautiful landscape and the bicycling. And this job will allow me to work from home. So I'm setting up a home office and we'll work from there.
So talk more about what you'll be doing with the 11 Y's around Oregon.
So my chief responsibilities, as you can imagine, my job description, I think, is 3 pages long, but it's to help build the capacity of all of those Ys in areas that are important to their communities. For example, here, we are very much advocates of water safety and drowning prevention, and there are other YMCAs that are in communities where there are rivers and there are lakes, and they want to do the same thing. So my job will be to help them form those collaborations and partnerships and raise those funds needed to make those same initiatives. Another will be to coordinate all the training connections that our own employees need to make. For example, getting aquatic directors to form networks, getting our childcare directors to get support and learning from each other. So those creating those networks and providing those training opportunities for them. Another will be to serve as the director of the Y's Youth and Government program, which just culminated last week in Salem. It's been going around for 74 years here in Oregon, and it gives youth who are in high school an opportunity to learn about how laws are made and how democracy happens.
And one of the things I would imagine, too, in doing this, as you and you already know these other directors to some extent, getting to know them better, but also it would make sense that essentially, like you talked about, the water safety efforts that you've had here make it simpler for someone who might want to do something like that, but doesn't really need to reinvent the wheel.
Exactly. Exactly. That's why we came up with this idea that if we had a voice and a face of the YMCAs in Oregon who coordinated those messages, provided our communication connections, and much as I've been the voice here on the radio with you, I am expected to be that voice for YMCAs in Oregon as well.
So it was a several month long process that led to this, right?
Yeah. But, you know, in any situation where you're leaving a job that you love in a community that that you love, you always want to say, well, is this the next opportunity good for me? Do I really want to leave? So you keep it kind of quiet because you don't want, you know, everybody who you work with and supports you to think you're running away. I certainly wasn't running away from my job. I was heading towards another opportunity. So yeah, I was offered the position I went through an interview in December, but offered the position in early January.
So. And working from home also gives you probably what would be needed versus, you know, setting up an office somewhere in the Y now if there was space available.
That's the key question, though. We don't even have enough space for what we want to do now with office space. So that was never really part of the conversation. Most Alliance directors do work from their homes.
Well, and it would just be easier, too, because probably the natural reaction of staff once you have a successor named and all of that is if you're still, you know, if you're on the same hallway, somebody's going to ask what you think, and you kind of need back out of that.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, there will be an interim director and then a national search for my replacement. It's always, I've been in the YMCA for more than three decades, and I've seen a lot of CEOs, you know, go through a transition time. And you're right, staff are going to lean towards somebody who's been there and knows. But, you know, we're really fortunate at our Y. We have a lot of staff members who've been with us for 10 years or more, and they have institutional knowledge, and they understand the culture, and they know our members. So they're going to do fine.
And the timing is probably good, too, because, I mean, you just finished. There's one more element with the parking lot, but you've finished most of a huge project over the last few years.
Yeah, that was quite a big accomplishment, you know, starting with that fundraising in late 2014 and then the campaign kicking off in 2015. We raised nearly $5 million and did that project with the tremendous generosity of our community and businesses. And I'm really proud about that, and we all need to be really proud about that. It's something that our community needed and our Y needed, and now we're in a great position so that once the parking lot is done, we're really going to look pretty good, both inside and out.
And talk about maybe the hardest part of that over the last few years.
The hardest part. Oh, you know, our members were really patient with all of the construction. It disrupted programs and services to a point, but they were very patient with temporary locker rooms. Staff members had to move into shared quarters, or my office, for example, was in the cardio room with all the equipment going and battle ropes and treadmills running. So I wouldn't say that was hard. It made it a little uncomfortable for people at times for over 18 months, but I don't know what was the hardest part.
Well, it was such a large project, and of course the pool is the one that maybe got the most attention, but there were a lot of other things that took place too.
Yeah. Well, you know, our locker rooms were in such bad shape. So we were really grateful that they finished over a year ago in December now, and they continue to amaze people. And so that was something we were desperate for and focused on, and to this day continue to be very proud of that. And you know, we not only got our pool replaced, but we got a slide, we got not only one whirlpool spa pool, but we have two. and they're very handicap accessible. Our pool is accessible with a lift and stairs. So we're really grateful that we're at full speed now, where people of all ages and all abilities can get back in the water.
And talk about the parking lot project.
So, you know, the parking lot is looking pretty sorry. It's got a lot of alligatoring of the surface, and it just needs a total refresh. So as part of the capital project, we had hoped that this would have been the last part. But by the time all the money got finished and approvals happened, it started raining again. So we have raised all the money we need. We have the drawings done. We have the city's approval to get it going, and a contractor who's raring to go as soon as the rain stops this spring.
So just parking lot will it be laid out about the same? It's just getting resurfaced?
No, better than that. Taking it away all the way down to the dirt, redesigned for safety and for easier accessibility for people with mobility devices or in wheelchairs. And it'll be striped a little bit differently so that the traffic flows better.
All right, going to take a break at Inside Douglas County. Marissa Fink with us. More about her transition to this new role as Executive Director of the Oregon Alliance of YMCAs. When we come back, the interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com, 1246 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson coming at 1, talking health at 4, and on tomorrow's Inside Douglas County, Steve Rehnquist from the Oregon State University Extension Service will be our guest. Marissa Fink here today, outgoing CEO and Executive Director of the YMCA of Douglas County, taking over as Executive Director of the Oregon Alliance of YMCAs. So do you get, are you already kind of doing both jobs? Do you get a little break in here, or how's that work?
No, I don't have a break. I start right away on Monday, a week from today, as the new executive director of the Oregon Alliance. I have been getting my office set up and, you know, all the business that you have to do when you start a new position, you know, ordering business cards and getting an email address and all of that set up. But I have been working as part of the Alliance with the YMCA's Youth and Government Program, which is for high school students who are learning about the governmental process, how laws are made, and how they learn how to debate and make those laws happen in a mock session and in Salem every year.
And a lot of people probably didn't even know that existed.
You know, and it's been going on, as I mentioned earlier, for 74 years. And I did it as a volunteer. It will become part of my responsibilities in my new position. But to have, you know, 60, 70, 80 students who have worked with their high school teachers or advisors throughout the fall semester, learning about how to write a bill and then developing their public relations skills. My job was to coordinate the whole session. We met in the conference rooms and meeting rooms at Willamette University. And then on Friday and Saturday of last week, we were in the chambers. We were in the Senate and House chambers, split the group into Senate and House, and these students took over. And it was amazing to see how dedicated they are, learning about the process and passing bills. There's even a youth governor who either signs or vetoes the bills, and they take it very seriously because they're talking about issues that are really passionate for them. 31 bills were presented.
Wow. So as you look back on 11 years leading the YMCA, we talked about the big capital construction and all of that a moment ago, but what are some of the things aside from that you're most proud of?
I think that our YMCA is respected and seen as a leader in what we say is our focus areas. We know that people, when they think about healthy living, when they think about youth programs, they think about the YMCA. And I feel particularly proud of the fact that we have made an impact in those areas in our community. We have been a leader in the Blue Zones Project, encouraging people to live healthier lives, make good, healthy choices. Even before we had Blue Zones here, the YMCA was an advocate for healthy living and making healthy choices. I'm really proud of the fact that we recognized a need for more water safety initiatives, for teaching kids how to swim, for putting river rescue stations out there, for working with all of our collaborators to put the sensors in to tell people what the temperature of the water was, to giving away 250 life jackets. We've given away almost 1,500 life jackets over the past several years. To be recognized as a community responsive organization, we're not just a gym, we're not just a pool. We are here for the community, and I'm really proud about that. I think we all in the Y should be proud about that.
You know, I've noticed how much you've worked with the Blue Zones Project in a lot of things, because clearly you have a lot of the same shared goals in things. But oftentimes when you get, even in the nonprofit sector, organizations, you know, sometimes get their turf. and it's like, well, we're doing our thing and they can do theirs, mm-hmm. but whatever. And it seems like, you guys have even co-done interviews here and mm-hmm. and been involved in, you know, joint promotions and different things. How important do you think it is, mm-hmm. is it to pair up with other people that have some of the same ideas?
Yeah, that's exactly right. We have identified very early on that the Blue Zones Initiative was something that we could be part of. It was never thought of as competition. As a matter of fact, when we were recognized as a Blue Zones work site, we realized that there were some components of what we could do for our own employees that would help them make healthier choices and provide healthier opportunities for them within the work site, that the Blue Zones actually helped us become better with our own employees. When we've recently partnered with the Business Champions for Kids, it's another example. We're not trying to compete to be the best place for childcare, the best place for kids to come and learn how to get along with each other. We are part of a whole community that's trying to do that. You know, whether it's the Boys and Girls Club, it's the after school programs in the schools, the Girl Scouts, the Boy Scouts, we're just part of that fabric of what we can provide in the community. So yeah, we're proud to be a collaborator. As a matter of fact, every year when we have to do an annual report for the YUSA, they ask us how many different organizations do we collaborate with. I think we listed more than 30 this year.
How many employees do you have at the Y?
About 150.
Wow. And that counts some folks that are in there and kind of part-time
roles, actually, right? Most of them are. There are only less than a dozen full-time employees. There are many that are only working, you know, teaching two classes a week, or they're lifeguarding for 10 hours a week.
And has that number gone up since in the 11 years you've been here?
Definitely. We have seen that number grow. I would say grow by maybe at least 50 employees.
Now, as a nonprofit organization, you've got a board. Talk about their role.
Well, the board consists of about 18 community volunteers who have stepped up to help make policy decisions, be the fiduciary oversight for the YMCA. They hire the CEO. They'll be having a search committee that hires my replacement. Their job is to support the YMCA, support the CEO, raise the money. For example, our annual campaign, which you'll be hearing about soon, kicks off soon with the board's chief responsibility to raise $125,000 this year. So people who can't afford the full cost are provided with that. We've been very grateful to have many people who have served for many years, and some people who come on and they serve a three-year term. Every year there's an opportunity for the board nominating committee to look at others who might like to serve on the board as well.
Now, you mentioned that there's going to be an interim director. Has that person been selected yet?
I think that's going to be announced this week.
Okay. And then a process that will take, well, and probably a variable amount of time to mm-hmm. find your ultimate replacement.
Yeah. Generally, in a national search for a CEO, the same one that hired me, you're looking at, 30 to 90 days at least. And then if they hire someone, there's usually a month or so where they need to give notice at their current job, similar to what I did leaving this position. So probably by late spring, early summer.
So about 40 seconds left. What are you going to miss most?
I'm going to miss the people. I'm going to miss the people who stop by or stop me in the hallway. You know, the guy who says, "Are you having fun yet?" Or the little kids that come out of the swimming pool saying, "I jumped in today." The people who are excited about becoming grandparents for the first time or recovering from hip or knee surgery. I'm going to miss the people.
All right, Marissa Fink, outgoing executive director and CEO of the YMCA of Douglas County, taking over as executive director of the Oregon Alliance of YMCAs, and she'll be wrapping up and switching roles this weekend. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Kyle. I'll miss being on the radio with you.
All right, 1257 and News Radio 1240, KQEN.
Been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by The Parent House. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.